All right, so before we get into public comment first, bear in mind my prior remarks on decorum. It's all about not disturbing the meeting. That's really the ultimate metric, whether or not what you do causes a disruption. And as far as how it's going to proceed, just like any other meeting where each person has up to 10 minutes to speak, should they so choose so, you do not have to take all 10 minutes. Just, it's not a requirement. Take less if you wish. You'll be permitted to ask questions of the administration or the school committee chair, assuming either or both are still here at that time. And the key is going to be, as well, staying on topic. We're not here to go after individuals or go after all the actions done over the course of existence. This is about the legislation that's before us and only about that. And now, do we have a motion to open public comment? Motion made and seconded. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? All right. So public comment is now open. The ayes have it. When each person please go to the mic, introduce yourself before you stop speaking, because otherwise I'm going to have to interrupt you and ask you.
I can hardly hear you. I'm sorry.
No worries. That's on me. I didn't follow my own advice. Make sure you introduce yourself before you start speaking.
My name is Barry Cook, 21-year resident of the city of Warwick. I'm the president of the Warwick Taxpayers Association, but I'm not here on behalf of the association. I'm here on behalf of myself and my wife. My wife and I are in our late 70s. We're on fixed incomes. We pay our taxes. We try to obey all the laws. And we try to be, to the best of our ability, good citizens. Sometimes I might fail at that, but most of the time, thank you. Most of the time I'm confident that I'm a good citizen. Let me start off by saying that I think this resolution is ill-conceived and poorly timed. I've heard some comments tonight. I want to commend Councilman Ricks for his comments. I will say that what I found most important in his comments were that the current legislation would allow the state to come in and take over the entire city of Warwick, both the city side and the school department side. Quite frankly, from the beginning, I must say, if I have the choice between the resolution just before you or the state taking over the entire city, I, for one, prefer the state coming in under the current legislation and taking over all of the finances. We have heard over many years, I must admit, I've only been active the last six. Having been a former councilman involved in politics, I kind of shied away from politics until about 6 years ago. This resolution, if passed and then sent to the legislature, should it be passed by the legislature, is a very bad precedent. Because not only does it empower a commission to be established in Warwick, which would eliminate, quite frankly, the school committee and the school administration. They would have no function whatsoever. So the people that we've elected on the school committee, they really don't exist any longer. The precedent is bad because any city or town who feels frustrated with the school committee in their city or town could do something similar. So it's quite possible by passing this resolution, passing in the legislature, we create a bad precedent for the entire state. One of the things that I can't find the letter, unfortunately, on my phone, I've misplaced it. But one of the things that I read, and I think I remember it correctly, in the state auditor's comments, I think he said something to the effect that the $9.6 million deficit couldn't be absorbed by the city because the city has failed to maintain a 17% funding ratio. They're actually at 10%. And I think Councilman Rick at some point said he doesn't recall the funding level ever being at 10%. Now, I may be wrong about that, but that's what I thought I read and heard. So if the city can't fund these matters at appropriate levels, OPEB, pensions, sewers, water. Where's the confidence come that they can then, through this commission, appointed, let's face it, appointed by Mayor Picozzi, who in your resolution says that the chairman of the committee will be elected by the three members that mayor appoints. Where are we going with this? This is a bad idea. I suggest that we have heard great comments this evening from our chairman, Sean Galligan. Now, he and I don't often agree, but we do agree on some things. And I agree that he has made a representation this evening, to me, sounds responsible and reasonable. We've elected him. We have elected the members of his committee to run the school council, probably the school committee, in conjunction with the administration. If you pass this resolution and it becomes an amended law, then you have just simply removed the city school committee and the administration from their functions. So I don't know where this originated, but it's not a five-alarm fire. We haven't acted upon this. Ed Lattisaw, Councilman Lattisaw, it goes back to 2020. It might go back before then. Well, why wasn't it an emergency back in 2020? Why wasn't this brought up in 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024? Is this an effort to distort the city's position financially? We want to hide the city's shortcomings by taking the focus off the city and placing it on the school committee? What are we trying to hide? I suggest that you defeat this resolution. There's nothing positive about it. It's going to affect too many people. It's going to disenfranchise those of us who took the time to study the candidates for school committee and go out and vote for them. You have now disenfranchised all of we voters who voted for Testa, for Galligan, for the Hazelworth, for the rest of them. You have now disenfranchised us. This is a power grab. Someone said, oh, maybe it was Councilman Foley. I don't know. Someone said, this is not a power grab. It is a power grab. It's a way to give the mayor power that doesn't exist. He wants to be able to run the entire city under his thumb. It's a bad idea. I urge you to reject this resolution. I will ask one question and I'm done. As it relates to my comment about funding levels of 10% versus 17%, could someone just clarify that for me? Because I can't find it in my phone where I saved it. Who can help me with that? You think I can walk over there? Just give me 1 second to find it. Thank you. Did you say the last page? Bear with me, please. Okay, thank you. From the Auditor General's comments in the letter of January 20th to members of the Warwick City Council, the city's fund balance reserves, are not sufficient to absorb the projected operating deficit for fiscal year 2025. Warwick's percentage of unrestricted fund balance to the annual general fund total expenditures and other financing uses was 10.59% in the last city-issued audited financial statements. This ratio is lower than the recommended Government Finances Office Association reserve percentage of 17%, in parentheses, approximately 2 months of general fund expenditures for municipalities. So let me just reiterate that point. The Auditor General, who is recommending you pass this resolution, is pointing out that the city's reserve fund are not sufficiently funded to cover this projected deficit. He points out that while the Government Finance Officers Association reserve percentage of 17%, That's what they recommend. The city's only at 10.59%. So again, if you're going to invoke legislation, let's look at the entire city. Now, one final comment. What I don't see in this resolution, and I haven't heard this evening, is, and I'm very curious about this, if I look at this resolution and read it as it's written, if you pass this resolution and the legislature enacts it, who is going to run, who is going to be responsible for the $380 million plus the $40 million that was cut? Who's going to be responsible for running the $420 million construction project of two high schools? Will this commission made up of three appointees by the mayor, will they do it? Who is going to run the construction project? You've taken the school committee and the administration out of it once you pass this resolution, and it's enacted by the legislature. So you don't have confidence that they can correct $9.6 billion over 5 years, but you have enough confidence to let them run the school construction projects. What? How does that make any sense? You people should reject this resolution out of hand. It's ill-conceived, it's a power grab, it's unnecessary. Your chairman of the school committee has told you that by February 28th, he hopes to have a handle on the problem. He hopes to work with the mayor and the city council in a collaborative fashion. If it wasn't an emergency in 20, 21, 22, 23, when Ed Lattiso was on the council, when Jeremy Rich was on the council, what makes it an emergency today? Why is it an emergency? I'm done. You should reject this resolution. It's not a good idea. Thank you.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me? Mary Townsend, Wise Union President, Executive Vice President of Council 94, and most importantly, a special education teacher assistant here in Warwick Public Schools in my 43rd year. I don't think there's anybody close that's been involved in Warwick Public Schools, employed and substitute, for over 43 years. That being said, by the way, I am a lifetime Warwick resident and a taxpayer. I made a list today. For the record, for anybody who doesn't know, what the Wise Union represents 400 support staff in Warwick Public Schools, custodians, clerical, teacher assistants, IT, and our maintenance and tradesmen in the maintenance department. So anybody who's not a teacher or an administrator is one of us. We're Wise. I'm here today to voice my concerns about the mayor's proposal for a budget commission to examine the school department's finances. Our Wise members are concerned with the recent developments of a significant deficit in the Warwick School Department's budget. Yet, respectfully, we urge the City Council not to overreact, which is what we feel this is, especially when we've been around with this many times over the years. Doesn't make it right, but doesn't make it something that cannot be resolved here in our city and with our schools. So we believe the district should be given the opportunity and the time to get our school community's house in order and continue to close the deficit. The Wise Union, I'm sure the Warwick Teachers Union, will continue to advocate not only in the best interest of our members, but ultimately, first and foremost, in the best interest of the students, which is what I feel we have done for all these years. So I want to thank you for your time and consideration, and I would certainly recommend that the school committee and the school district be given the time they deserve and need to solve our problems here in the city and not somewhere else. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. President. Sean Collins, Warwick resident for life and much beleaguered taxpayer for a long time. It's my turn. I just found out about this meeting, so I don't have prepared remarks. However, I would like to comment on I'm going to mess up your name, Lattiker, Councilman Lattiker. Did I say that? Sorry. Pointing out the ridiculous proposed budget cuts, that you would have to believe that the same school committee and school department that misspent, did not know they were overspending, allegedly, $500,000 a month, is the same school committee and school department that can now predict the weather for next year, and they can tell you how much gas and oil they're going to use. That's BS. It amazes me how statutorily, charter-wise, there is nothing. Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong. There is no control over the school department and the school committee, which is why we're here talking about this resolution. Am I correct? They have 60% of my tax dollars, and we have no control over them. Your job as council people, public safety in the foremost, and looking out for the taxpayers. You need to pass this resolution. There's got to be some oversight of the school department and the school committee. The school committee chairman got up here and said that he found in 7 days $3.5 or $3.7 million in savings. The councilman pointed out from Ward 5 how that's nonsense. He found that in 7 days, but for the past year, he couldn't balance the budget. I've handled multi-million dollar budgets as a police chief. I know you look at your budget before you hire somebody. I never overspent a budget once. Always come under. You balance the books. You look to see if you have the money to hire somebody. You see if you have the money to go to WB Mason. You see if you have the money to do anything, pay the heating bills. Apparently, the school department and the school committee chair and the others on the school committee, they're free from having to worry about any of that. That's why they're over budget $9 million, and that's not counting the $40 million we're going to have to cough up for the two high schools. So I'm going to tell you a little story. My parents in this city had to sell their house because after raising 10 kids and paying their taxes for decades, they paid off their mortgage, and they could not afford the taxes on the house. They had to sell the house and move in with a sibling, one of my siblings. That's going to happen to more people in this city. So I want you to take this very seriously, your jobs. They don't take their jobs seriously. They're spending money like drunken sailors on shore leave. My apologies to drunken sailors. You have to take this seriously. People are going to lose their homes. That's not an exaggeration. 10 years from now, the tax is going to be out of control. The mayor's already talking about a massive tax increase. If I have to pay $10 more a week, I'm already for the luxury of living in the city I grew up in the city I love, I have to pay over $100 a week in taxes. Is it going to be $200 a week in 10 years? I don't know. This is insane. Stop this insanity. Get some control over these people. They don't care. Where's the superintendent? She's not here tonight. She's at some function, something more important than a $9 million deficit? I don't think so. I'm asking you, Councilman, with all due respect, do your jobs, look out for the welfare of the citizens of the city of Warwick, and do something. If this resolution is the only thing you can do, do something to protect us. Thank you very much.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. I want to paint a picture. I want to paint a picture of Mr. Sinapi right here where I am now. And you city council people ask him questions about what the mayor is doing. Ask him questions about perhaps the Department of Public Works and why a garbage truck has a broken axle. There is no way that the school department can come here through the chairman of the school committee and ask detailed questions of him as if he were the school department. This is ludicrous. I was at the inauguration a couple of weeks ago, and there was the school department employee who caused all this trouble, standing at the inauguration, taking the time to go there. Why is he not here? I think this is a really important question. Why is the superintendent of schools not here? Yes. She had a function. Oh, okay. But maybe after the function, she could have come here. It's not impossible. These people are not here because they don't want to be here. That's the truth. And I have to say the most regard for my former mayor's son, Mr. Lattiser, who has put himself out to make sure that we are beginning to get some controls here. I was not convinced when I came to this meeting tonight about which way I would go. But after seeing the behavior of the school department, the non-behavior of the school department, I recommend that you move this forward to the General Assembly. Now, there may be some problems with it, okay? The General Assembly has attorneys. They, you know what? They actually look at stuff and see if it's constitutional. We don't know if this is constitutional. I have a question. Has any attorney looked at this bill?
So who's your question directed at?
I suppose it's a city council solicitor.
Are you an attorney that looked at this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Langseth. This resolution came to us from the administration with the input of the city solicitor. And I, as council solicitor, have also reviewed it on behalf of the nine members here.
Okay. So perhaps the mayor could, perhaps you could ask the mayor why the city solicitor isn't here?
You can ask him. It's his prerogative whether or not he answers.
Okay.
Well, as the solicitor said, we did it through him also. The city solicitor doesn't normally come to council meetings. We rely on his wisdom there. And he had a hand in crafting and in amending the bill.
Okay, I'm confused enough to say you should pass this bill on to the General Assembly so that their legal people can look at it to find out if this is constitutional. That's their job. Our job is to present petitions to the General Assembly. Their job is to make sure that these bills can legally be enacted. And I would sincerely suggest that you move this ahead. Now, there's another side to all of this. Everybody's talking about the big rush. You know, it has to be done by February 28th or whatever. The General Assembly is not going to hear this bill as an emergency. They've got a lot of real emergencies, okay? The school department has an option. They could just simply lay some people off. I mean, it's not rocket science here. I hate to say that because people get hurt, but you know what? Everybody else is going to get hurt too. So I'm just a little bit worked up here. I'm sorry. Normally I'm not, but this whole thing is just so confusing to me. I don't know where to go. I talk to the people as best I can, and the answers are still strange. You know, oh, you're taking the power away from the school committee. Oh, yeah, maybe you are. You're taking the power away from the people. You're taking the power away from everybody. I don't get it. I think that this thing is still a little bit fuzzy, and I would suggest that we go to the General Assembly with it. They are going to have a hearing. At that point, we can be much more prepared to figure out what this is really all about. And in the meantime, which is so important, is the school department is on notice that they have to fix things. I can't remember which city council person asked the question, but the question is, what is the school department going to do while this is going to the General Assembly? Well, I certainly hope that they're going to work this thing out so that they can go to the General Assembly and say, geez, we really don't need this because everything's fine. Or perhaps I could go to the General Assembly and say to the General Assembly that the city of Warwick has worked it out, so we really don't need this, so just forget about it. Most bills die in committee anyway. It's not a big deal. Well, what's the chance of this bill getting through? Seriously, think about it for a minute. There's going to be hundreds of people up there opposing it. Yeah, how many people are going to go to the General Assembly and suggest that this bill go through? Oh, perhaps a few city council members, maybe myself, but I can assure you that the vast majority of people at that hearing are going to be opposed to it. So it doesn't do any harm in my mind to send it there. So I really suggest you do. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for recognition. Hi, my name is Keeney Behe, and I am a senior at Pilgrim High School. And I have lived in Warwick my whole life, and I have attended public school for 12 years now. And I feel that I offer a unique perspective on the topic being discussed today. While there are many problems in our schools and city as a whole, I do not think taking away the people we've elected, whose sole purpose is to represent the students' best interest and place that responsibility in turn into a new committee, in which the people, taxpayers, voters, have no say in this answer. I don't see the point in taking the job away from the officials the people have elected to do said job. Wouldn't it possibly make more sense for both the elected officials of the schools and the city to work together for the betterment of us all? I want to thank you, and I understand that everyone here has had to make hard decisions, but I ask you all to please remember that you were elected to represent everyone, and please continue to do so. Thank you.
Joe Rochelli, Ward 1 resident and parent of a child at Wyman Elementary School. Mr. Council President, council members, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Chairman, I just have to say, what are we doing here? We're talking about a proposal that you have no numbers on. We talk about the five committee members, but we can't come up with a single salary. We can't come up with a cost. How are we going to the General Assembly when we're talking about a deficit, but we're talking about money coming in or money being spent on a commission, which right now is unlawful? It's unlawful. You cannot do this in the state without laws being passed by the legislation. We can say it's not a power grab, Mr. Mayor. I don't think you're trying to consolidate power under your leadership, but it is. When push comes to shove, you're talking about three appointed people appointed by the mayor's office, by one single person, who are replacing duly elected officials, who, by the way, were sworn in less than 30 days ago. Less than 30 days ago, these people who are elected by the city of Warwick to do the job that we're asking them to do are now being undercut and replaced by bureaucrats who answer to one person, and that's you, Mr. Mayor Picozzi. They don't answer to the taxpayers. They don't answer to the city council. They answer to one person. That's consolidated power, and that is dangerous. That is very dangerous. That's a slippery slope that we're going to go down that once again takes away the power of our elected officials, people that we duly elected into office. The taxpayers, the people of Warwick, chose these people to represent us not only in the good, but in the bad. We know that there are problems within the city. We know there are problems within budgets. And these people were elected by the people, by your constituents, to fix those problems. To say this is premature is an understatement. Yes, we understand. And I think that, at least to me and what I've heard from both presentations, I think the proposal is in good faith, but it's very, very premature. The presentation presented by Mr. Galligan was clear. It was concise. It made sense. Now, we may not like all of the cuts. We may not like the as you called it, Councilman Lattiser, the shell games, but they're working on it. And that's what they're there to do. They're there to work on it. They're there to work together. There are transparencies that were brought out. There are transparencies. There's cooperation that's been proposed so that there is additional oversight. And that's what we're asking for. Now, when we talk about the city's proposal, you know what was missing there? What I didn't hear once? The kids. There was not a single sentence, not a single thing talked about how this is going to affect the students, the future of our city. When we talk about this city becoming a great city again, when we talk about drawing people into the city and no longer having a declining school population, but a growing one, doesn't matter how many Chick-fil-A's you build, doesn't matter how many Shake Shacks or Steak and Shakes you bring in here. It's about having great schools. And we can. you know, I forget who, maybe it was Mr. Galligan that said, there's a bunch of smart people that are standing here in front of me. There's a bunch of smart people on that school committee. There's a bunch of smart people in Mayor Picozzi's office. Work together. We don't need a commission. We don't need bureaucrats to sit here and dictate what's happening in our schools, taking the taxpayers, the taxpayers' voice out of it. It's unfair to take that away from us. We're the ones that put you in power, that put the city council in power, the school committee in power, the mayor in power. Let our decisions run the city. Because for us to sit here today and talk about a plan that's not fully developed, to talk, I heard one person state, oh, well, I got a call from somebody in Woonsocket that may want to volunteer for this position. Oh, that's a great resume. Somebody from Woonsocket that may want to volunteer for this position, but we're in a fiscal emergency, right? We're in a fiscal emergency and we're taking phone calls from some random person in Woonsocket who wants to take this position. Why? If he's not getting paid, what's he getting? The point is, while the plan may be, it may be, you know, done in with all well intentions, there's not much of a plan. The iteration that was put on Facebook 2 days ago has changed 16 times since then in a scramble to try to get this passed and pushed through in front of you right now. February 28th comes, Mr. Galligan and the school committee present their plan to the auditor. And then what's stopping this council from then calling this meeting again and revisiting it after that work has been done? Why do we have to vote on this today when it's something that isn't ready to be voted on? I'm not asking you to vote for, I'm not asking you to vote against. What I'm asking you to do is table this vote, let the school committee get to work. Let them do what they're saying they're gonna do. Let them show you the progress. And then if that doesn't happen, call another meeting at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday and have the vote. Hopefully at that point, the mayor's office has had time to get more of these details that right now we don't have. So I'm going to ask you, please table this vote. Let the voters matter. And do not pass and send this to the General Assembly. And I do have one question, because one of the things that has come up is that the city can't afford to pay for this deficit. That our rainy day fund isn't at 17%, and that's going to hurt our bond rating, according to the Auditor General's letter. Well, whose fault is that? Is that the school committee? Is it the school committee's fault that we only have 10% funded in the rainy day fund? That our bond ratings, if we had to, whether it's 9, 4, 3 million, had to give more of that money? Is that the school committee's fault that the city would suffer and our bond ratings would suffer? Or is it the people that want the power? Is it their fault that we can't give that, you know, dad can't loan the kid $5 because dad's got no money in his pocket? But we want to take that power when our fiscal house isn't much better than what we have in the school committee. So, Mr. Mayor, I would like to ask you, with the existing legislation on the state side, where they can come in and look at both the school committee and the city, rather than trying to get new legislation, why don't we just go with the legislation that's currently enacted?
Because the school department has a $9 million deficit. It's appeared over the past 6 months, apparently. The school, the city council, the city doesn't. Our fund balance is about $35 million. Okay. The report that was read by the Auditor General was from 2023. Admittedly, the city has the challenges, but this is a crisis right now. $9 million is a maximum levy, tax levy, maximum tax increase, and it's going forward. As I said, everything has been presented by the school department to this point fixes it for this moment. It comes back next year, it comes back the year after. There has to be an amortization plan over 4 or 5 years, and they don't have the ability to cut $9 million out of this budget. And they also can't slam the car into a wall and tear the school department apart next year and start laying everyone off. It has to be a well-thought-out plan. There's been no evidence of that plan coming forward, and they're not going to get it done by February. And the risk of waiting here, this is very urgent. This is going to take time to create this committee. We can't sit back, give them another chance, because as I said, I mean, this has been going on for a while. Councilman Knapper alluded to it, that they were informed in the summertime that they had a deficit, and I heard more than $2 million. No action was taken. I was informed about this in the Auditor General was in December, less than a month ago. It's crucial. It has to go forward now. It's not a power grab. They're not going to be bureaucrats. They're going to be people with financial skills. The city council will approve them. There are checks and balances here. I have no interest in running the school department. It's not a power grab. This was carefully crafted that this committee will have no control over the school committee in any matters of education, not curriculum, not personnel decisions. They can't hire, they can't fire, they can't negotiate union contracts. It's just to deal with the deficit.
Understandable, but you're saying they're not bureaucrats, they're financial people that are going to come in and look at Excel spreadsheet lines, not necessarily the children and what those items are going to affect when it comes to the kids. I will end at that, and thank you, Mayor, for answering my question.
One thing that you said, I mean, I'm as concerned about the children's education as you are, I'm also concerned that their parents can put a roof over their head, food on their table, clothes on their back, and their grandparents can afford to live in their houses. There has to be a balance of all needs here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, my name is Julie Connors Costello. I am a lifetime resident of Warwick. I've been voting since I registered to vote back at Warwick Veterans Memorial High School in 1989. I am a resident of Ward 7. I'm a proud 28-year veteran teacher at Winman Middle School. And my statements are pretty much just that, maybe a few rhetorical questions thrown in there. First thing, the school committee is nonpartisan, where if we have this resolution get passed, then the mayor does have complete control over what happens, especially if he appoints three people to the committee. Why would a committee need to be appointed? Why would the committee need to be appointed? Why couldn't the citizens of Warwick, as we have done for many years, elect the five individuals to the position? Why not return the power to the people, the citizens of Warwick, and have them vote? The school committee's been doing that for many years. I also question, how can this be passed when we don't know how much money it is going to cost to have this commission? There are salaries to consider, clerical folks to be paid. There are meeting locations that will need to be established. It's fiscally irresponsible at this time to do it. I also question, is there a term limit? Is this going to be part of the school committee's budget to pay these five individuals? I will say I am grateful to what Keeney and the gentleman before me said. I echo their concerns. I also would like to say that where we had former schools, there are now neighborhoods going up. John Wick's, Christopher Rose, a huge development over on Post Road. So people are coming, and I'm sure they're going to be coming with their children. I'm not quite sure if there will be a problem with people continuing to leave if we have all of this real estate available for people to purchase. Thank you for your time. Have a good evening.
Patrick Maloney, Warwick resident, former vice chair of the school committee from 2008 to 2012. I'd like to read into the record an email sent from Lynn Danbrook on December 19th at 3:54 p.m. That was over a month ago. So I'd like to just note that the mayor said this was a crisis four times in his last comments. Dear Honorable Mayor Picozzi, outgoing City Council President McAllister, incoming City Council President Sinapity, and Auditor General David Bergatino, the Warwick School Department Administration is providing you with this notice as required by state law. We were alerted by our finance department of concerns relative to the potential deficit of fiscal year 2025. The school committee authorized a municipal finance consultant to come in and work with our finance department to quantify the potential issue. The consultant has finished her initial projections, and there's an estimated $9 million deficit for fiscal year 2025. The cause for this deficit, as best we can determine, is largely related to overspending in both the salary and benefits budgetary lines. The administration is currently undergoing the process to determine which steps can be made to immediately mitigate the situation. We are respectfully requesting, all parties included in this email to discuss additional options immediately. So if this is a crisis, why was the city council incoming president and the mayor notified over a month ago and we're sitting here now? We know there's been two meetings that were behind closed doors. One of them that's Channel 12 was kicked out of the meeting, as well as Coalition Radio was kicked out of the meeting. So why is it almost a month later that we're discussing this crisis? If it was a crisis and you didn't need to call a meeting and you didn't have to have open meetings violations and have the city council and other members meet, why couldn't this have been started a month ago? This is ridiculous that here we are now a month later. Wasted time. Now, I know the mayor wants to have highly qualified individuals and finance people come in to sit in with the school committee. I want it on the record that everyone in here know that the school committee members get $4,000 a year, $4,000 a year to serve. They do not serve for the money. I can tell you that right now. I took all the hours I was on the school committee and I made about 30 cents an hour. So if you think that you're going to find highly qualified individuals to come in here and help us with this debacle, I doubt it. Continue with my other. Okay. In 1964, the state created the school committees to be nonpartisan, to keep politics out of school education decisions. The Providence mayor appoints his school committee, and when the Providence mayor doesn't like the school committee decisions, he threatens in the newspaper to replace the appointees. On November 8th, 2024, the Providence school budget had woes. According to an article in the local paper, the state withheld city funds totaling $8.5 million in state aid for failing to meet the school obligations. Here's a history lesson. In 2011, $6.5 million was cut by the Honorable Mayor Scott Avedisian. Since 2011, $84.5 million was taken by the city and not given to the schools. This is $84.5 million that went to the city over the last 13 years. If not for the teachers, Wise Union, and administration agreeing to pay 20% copay to the schools, we would have been in this situation years ago, so I commend them for doing that. Their 20% copay saved the schools $4 million a year. Now let's talk about commissions. How does everyone feel about the Public Utilities Commission, and how's that working for people? Here's how commissions work in Rhode Island. Politicians create commissions. Commissions make unpopular decisions that are costly. Decisions like the cost of electricity or the cost of water. When the people go to the politicians that created the commissions to complain about price increases, the politicians say their hands are tied and they have no control over the commissions, just as they have no control over the school committee. So we will be right back where we were. The commissions will inevitably do what the politicians want and ignore the people at the cost of the people. The problem is that many politicians don't serve anymore, and when something goes wrong, they point fingers in self-preservation. When a politician makes a knee-jerk reaction and they make decisions without thinking, bad things will happen. Our own city had a finance issue and had to pay, that it had to pay over 30 years. They went to the state and asked to have it amortized over 40 years, and it was granted, despite the laws preventing it from being paid this way. A commission won't solve the problem. What will solve the problem? Holding politicians, including the school committee, responsible. That solves a problem. We have elections, and there are consequences when people are elected. If the mayor wants to be more involved with the schools, he should run for school committee again. The mayor could also start now to find 2 to 3 people that he would like to run for school committee during the next election. There are checks and balances for a reason. At the Warwick debate On October 10th, the mayor and our other opponents stated that we need to trust the people in the process of a $350 million bond for new schools. I said there was no way the schools could be built for $350 million. Within 2 weeks, the schools needed $37.5 million more. At that point, the mayor and the city finance director should have been watching the finances. They didn't. They ignored the school finances. A $37.5 million surprise in a shortfall for new buildings, followed shortly now by an additional $9 million deficit. Here's another solution. The superintendent and the finance director needs to be fired. When I was on the school committee, we had a finance director that I was not confident in, and I wasn't getting the answers that I wanted. The school committee fired the finance director, and we brought somebody else in. The superintendent later was not giving adequate answers to us that we were asking for. The superintendent was let go, and we brought somebody in. The city finance director should have been closely following the school committee budget since the $37.5 million surprise. Did the mayor and finance director ignore the problem because they were focusing on other things? I believe the city finance director should be fired too. Solutions: fire the school superintendent. Bring in a temporary superintendent. My suggestion, Bill McCaffrey. He's already done the job successfully. Fire the school finance director immediately. I suggest bringing in whoever this consultant is that found the $9 million issue. Schools have special education students. We have more than any other city. If the schools can get, and I can tell you from personal experience, if the schools can get within $1.5 to $2 million, the federal money from special education will come in to close the gap. Check the history. It happens every year. It happens right after June. For all you new city council members, check the budgets. It happens. In October of I didn't want to bring this up yet, but I will. In October of 2020, an article in the Warwick Beacon stated that more than half the city council had family members working for the city. We have four new city council members. I suggest the schools and the city go through and find out who actually is doing work there and who isn't doing work there and take the appropriate actions.
Please stay on topic.
I will. I have 2 minutes left. Thank you.
You do indeed.
When the mayor took office, the number of library employees was 35. It's now increased to 60. And finally, for the schools, this is a last-ditch effort for the schools. The Carullo Act. Is the city providing the schools what should have been in the memorandum of effort after having $84.5 million taken over the last 13 years? The schools can sue the city for not properly funding the schools. I don't think we should do that. But I do ask you, do we want to get more and more lawyers involved? Should the city claim bankruptcy? With the schools in a budget crisis and the city OPEB at over $1 billion, I believe we should have the state come in to look at both the schools and the city. I have a minute left. The taxpayers of this city have had enough. There are four new city council members and five other people. You need to work together with the schools. There are checks and balances in place for a reason. The schools, the city council, and the mayor can work together to accomplish closing this gap. You will not do it if you point fingers. Thank you.
Starting my clock here. Robert Cushman, I'm a former Ward 1 city councilman, former chairman of the Warwick School Committee. Well, first of all, I want to say how refreshing it is that I can see that the council members are actually paying attention to people at public comment. That's very refreshing to see. The councilmen Napper, DeLuise, Muto, and Kirby, welcome. I don't think that you thought in your second meeting you would have a one-way ticket on the SS Warwick Titanic, but here you are. I think most of us can agree that we need oversight in the school budget. I think one of the things that we need to look at is that, do we want to look at a solution that's tried and tested, or do we want to go up to the General Assembly with a resolution that we don't even know, I heard, whether it's legal or not? We don't know whether it's going to pass. I'm already hearing there's going to be a huge opposition from organized labor up there. And then, you know, the other thing is that what I'm hearing is right now is taxpayers are scared to death. And I'm glad Major Collins came up and talked about his, you know, aging parents and things like that, because there are a lot of people that are going to be forced to move out of the city. I'm going to say right now, I have no confidence in the current school department and the administration in fixing this problem. Councilman Napa, I learned something new today where you pointed out that the administration knew about this deficit 6 months ago. They didn't tell anybody. How can you have people even still employed that had a cover-up of this magnitude and it exploded to this deficit that it is right now? I got to commend Councilman Gebhardt. You said $40 million in non-discretionary spending, and we're going to cut 25% of that? That doesn't make sense. I don't believe it. The point I want to make here is that this didn't happen overnight. This fiscal crisis has been brewing in the city for the last 10 to 15 years. We've known about it. I've stood up here from different council people talking about this, pleading with some kind of changes. It's all gone on deaf ears. We've kicked the can down the road. We have $1.1 billion in unfunded liabilities on the city budget. Long term, and Councilman Ricks, I've talked to you about this, and you agree, in the long term, the city budget is worse than the school budget. But I figured we were going to be in a fiscal crisis probably 2 to 3 years from now when the school budgets got passed. That puts our unfunded liabilities at $1.5 billion. The second worst in the state. Guess who's first? It's Providence. Let's forget about Providence. They should have gone bankrupt years ago. We also have stuff called unfunded liabilities on the books that nobody, they're not quantitatively put anywhere.
Please stay on topic.
Okay. So here's my point. The city and the schools have been bailed out over the last 5 years for tens of millions of dollars in COVID funds. This would have happened a long time ago. Let's talk about the tried and tested law that nobody has brought up tonight. It's under Chapter 9, Budget Commissions, 45-9-3, Appointment and Duties of a Fiscal Overseer. This is from the law. Upon the joint request by the city's chief executive officer and city council, which request is approved by the Division of Municipal Finance and the Audit Director, the Director of Revenue may appoint a fiscal overseer for the city to assess the ability of the city government to manage fiscal crises. So if you pass the resolution tonight calling for this, and I'm going to have probably just one question I want to ask the mayor, but I want to make sure I get my time in. Would the mayor be willing to sign that resolution to bring in a fiscal overseer? Because if you do that, this is on the books. It's going to be no debate about it. No one could protest it and say you can't do it because it's a law. What's the fiscal overseer going to do if he comes in? He's going to supervise all financial services and activities. I'm reading this directly from the law. He's going to provide assistance in all matters related to fiscal affairs. He's going to assist in the development and preparation of budgets for all departments and spending plans. He's going to review and propose contracts and obligations. You guys have to write, you got a contract ratification vote Monday, and you got this major crisis in the problem. That should be delayed. He's going to monitor the expenditures of all funds. He's going to approve the annual budgets of the city and all departments, which includes the school department. And then he's going to report to the Director of Revenue, the Auditor General, the Governor, and the chairpersons of the House Finance and Senate Finance on the progress made towards reducing the municipality's deficit and otherwise obtaining financial stability. That's exactly what you want to happen with the commission that you're proposing, that you don't even know if you could legally get it through the House, through the General Assembly. Use the existing law. Within 120 days of being appointed by the Director of Revenue, the fiscal overseer shall develop a 3-year operating and capital financial plan to achieve fiscal stability in the city or town. The fiscal overseer shall have the power to compile operational, performance, or forensic audits or any similar assessment. What's one of the things we heard tonight, Councilman Lattisaw? We don't know how the hell this happened. We need a forensic audit. A fiscal overseer is going to bring in a full staff of people, and he could do all the things that you want to get done, I would say probably immediately if you pass a resolution. Or it's not going to take 6 months, 3 months, or whatever. And here's the other point. This is the other part of the law. So this is 45.95. If the fiscal overseer shall report in writing to the Division of Municipal Finance if the fiscal overseer concludes that the city is unable to present a balanced budget, faces a fiscal crisis that poses an imminent danger to the safety of the citizens. I think the potential tax increases that we're seeing because of this and the long-term implications of trying to solve this problem does pose a safety concern to the residents and their property, will not achieve fiscal stability without the assistance of a budget commission, and that the tax levy of the fiscal year should not be approved. So he's going to look at many more things that are written into this law that you don't even have written into your law. And this is the main point, too. If the fiscal overseer believes at any time that a budget commission shall be appointed, the fiscal overseer may report that belief to the Division of Municipal Finance. You know what happens after that? The director of revenue, if the fiscal overseer reports to the Division of Municipal Finance under subsections A, B, the director may immediately abolish the fiscal overseer, and then he appoints a budget commission. So you're skipping all step one. You're going right to step two with a power grab. When you really should be using the existing law, go through step one. He's going to do exactly what you want to do, and he's going to do more than what you want to do. And you know what happens if he comes back? He's going to look at the city budget. He's going to look at the school budget. He's going to look at everything that's coming on down the line. And if he appoints a budget commission, and this is what I think maybe the mayor and everybody else is afraid of, guess what? Nobody in the city has any more power to do anything, which I think is a good thing because we need a new, fresh set of eyes to come into the city. A budget commission will come in under the state law. You guys can no longer pass a budget. The school committee can no longer pass a budget. They're going to come in. They have the power to talk to the unions and do whatever's necessary to clean things up. And I got about 2 minutes left. The problem with the school department is contractual problems. You have things. I was on that school committee. You probably still got the same things built into the contract. I don't want to see people losing their jobs. But the fact of the matter is the number of employees in the school department need to be reduced to fit the enrollment decline that's going on through the years. It's the same thing on the city side. We have provisions in these contracts that are so costly and wasteful. And the problem is they can't negotiate contracts. But if they can't achieve some kind of financial savings, the next step is that budget commission could take the city into receivership. And I think we're on that path already. So you guys could go do what you want with your feel-good legislation, which is probably going to do nothing. You're not going to pay attention to what's going on the city side of the budget. And, you know, I think eventually you're probably going to get to the point where the state is going to have to come in. Do it now. If you have nothing to fear on the city side, if the city budget is fantastic and it's great and we don't have any kind of problems, what are you afraid of? Let the fiscal overseer come in. He's going to produce all the reporting you want. He'll do forensic audits.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Cushman.
Yes. You have a staff of 4 people. So, all right, my final question, I guess this is through the chair, to the mayor. If this city council scrapped the current resolution and called for a fiscal overseer to be appointed by the director of the Department of Revenue, Mayor, would you sign that resolution? Mr. Sinapi, that's through you. To the mayor?
No.
Why not? Through the chair. Why not?
Because I don't feel it's necessary and I'm not here for that. I'm here with this course of action.
I didn't hear it.
Because of the cat calls from the audience, I too didn't hear them. If you're going to be disruptive, you'll have to leave. Please stop. Everyone's welcome to speak. Mr. Cushman waited quite a long time to speak. Please respect his time. Mayor, could you please answer that again? I apologize.
The answer is no, and I disagree with his analysis of the necessity of it.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Michelle Comar. I'm a taxpayer from Ward 1. And I don't want to repeat anything Bob Cushman said, but I agree with him. He just supported my opposition of this resolution, and I'm in favor of the council and the mayor signing on to Rhode Island General Law 45. Is this on, Councilman? Oh, thank you. I'm in favor of the council and the mayor signing on to and using existing law, General Law 45-9, and looking at a global picture of both, as Councilman Ricks had mentioned, both the school committee and the municipal budget side. And the reason why that no one's mentioned, because I don't want to repeat anybody's good presentations and facts here tonight, is in the resolution itself. It's on the second page under 45-9.1-4, excuse me, 1-3, authority, powers, duties. And under B, number 3, amortize operational deficits in an amount as the city finance director approves and for a term not longer than 5 years. It is a power grab. We have a one department city. It's going to be a unified school committee and municipal. That's not how it's supposed to be. The action that before the council tonight, this legislation, I believe, circumvents the city's charter. It circumvents Rhode Island Constitution, Article 13. There's a set procedure to change your charter. And why do I love it? Because you know what I stand for. Transparency, public involvement. I didn't learn about what happened with the $9 million deficit or whatever the amount is because the public was not invited to a meeting, which 4 city council people attended. No one called me, and you know I'm at the mic. And it was designed just to get under the radar of the Open Meetings Act. That's not transparency. The taxpayers need to know immediately. Now, I have two questions to ask the school committee, better yet, the school department, but they're not here. And how does this deficit affect the payback, the debt payback for the bonds of the two new schools? Because surprise, another surprise they had, and no one's on top of finances over there, obviously, is that they were $35 million short. So then they're making cuts. Now they're going to have to make cuts somehow of the 22% left outside of the 78%. I think these are your figures. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. 78% of the budget goes to salaries, pensions, employee benefits. At least 22% for the kids, pencils, paper, and payback debts. How are they going to do this? And because the city finance director is going to call the shots, he better know the whole picture. The council people better know the whole picture on the school side and the municipal side, because we got some serious decisions to make. Not easy decisions. So I want to, again, Sean, I don't want to make it go up and down, but my question is, how does this deficit affect the school payback of the loans? And that project, I think, was scheduled to start in a few weeks. What's the status of that? And then my last question, which I didn't hear the answer yet from you, better yet, the school department, sorry, was how did we get to this deficit? How did this happen? Those two, three questions, please.
Good to go.
Yes, the one thing is the timing of the construction isn't pertinent, but everything else may very well be. We'll find out from the answer of the questions.
Thank you. I just want to clarify a couple things. So the bond is separate from our general operating budget. So you threw out a figure, I believe it was like $33 or $35 million over budget on that. It's the last update that was given to the general public in October, I believe was like $37.8 million. So that's on the bond and the construction-related project. The bond is kind of sold. Is not kind of sold. It is sold by the mayor and his finance team. So I wouldn't be able to comment further on that. They could probably take that question here in a second, and how that would implicate tax rates and everything thereafter. We just have our general operating budget. The second question you had, excuse me.
How did we get this deficit? What caused this deficit?
I'm still waiting for a clear, finite answer from the administration, but what I can say at a very high level right now, as the financial consultants are still going through it, they're are multiple variables that came together all at once here. One of the biggest ones at $3.5 million is we budgeted in when we put together the, or when the administration put together the FY 25 budget and presented it to the school committee, was a reduction of workforce. There was a comment made earlier about headcount and how we need to continue to cut headcount. However, what actually drives headcount management in the school department is student need. I'll give you a really good example. If a child comes into our district in the month of October and they require an, you know, if they have a 504 plan or what we call an individualized education plan or IEP, if that child has that and they come in and it states that you need to hire a TA and it's got to be a one-to-one, well, that's a legal document. That's something that the school committee cannot say yes or no to. We have to hire them. I'm not saying that that instance there is the big driver for a $9 million deficit. Bringing back unbudgeted employees, last conservative figure I had was roughly about $3.5 million. So that's a big third of what we have experienced thus far. Other standard accounting practices have been called into question as possible contributors to the issue, but I wouldn't want to speak to those particulars just yet because they're still verifying that, in fact, that those were the root causes that contributed to this mess. I do know that it was stated that in the month of August that there was a potential deficit identified. We didn't raise the alarm at that time only because we wanted to make sure we knew exactly what the figure was. And at the beginning of the year, what often happens when you start up your school is you have all of your initial costs, right? So you're renewing your curriculums, you're reopening your schools, you're buying materials. So because of all of that, all of a sudden it just went boom and it hit. So we're working through it. We froze spend as soon as we started seeing it going on, and that was in October. And that's all I can say at this time.
Okay, so there's some teacher salaries that are not budgeted, or there's a shortfall in that?
Correct.
Were COVID or AFRA funds used in the past budget to cover that? They're not forever funds.
No, you're 100% correct. Yes, we call them ESSER funds on the school side. And yes, some of those ESSER funds were used. However, I believe that for those particular positions, they were spent responsibly on two functions in particular, math interventionists and reading interventionists. And as you have seen, scores for our school, internal diagnostics are showing that there has been a benefit to those positions. Now, what the school committee had to do prior to the start of FY25 is the administration had to find that cap space within the budget to account for them. So although ESSER funds were used on one-time expenditure, on recurring expenses like that, they were accounted for when developing the FY25 budget.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
So it looks like what we could be headed for is a real tightening of the belts in these next coming years. And we're used to seeing the number 60-40. 60% of our tax or revenue goes to the schools, 40% for municipal. We might have to tighten that to help the school department out to 70-30, or who knows? And that's another reason we need to the big picture, what's happening on the municipal side, and are we in good order there to absorb, be the shock absorber for this oversight? And you're right, I have little confidence in the school committee, but worse yet, the school department. I do agree that somebody wasn't paying attention, and we need better oversight. In the past, the city council has passed a resolution for this oversight, and it was to, on a quarterly basis, have department heads come to the podium and give a quarterly report. Sometimes it's like, well, we did a sewer construction project from X to YZ point. But what we need to key on now is, you got the budget. How far are you in expending that budget? Any surprises? And that includes the school department coming here. We've never asked them to come in on a regular basis to do a report. They need oversight. So I hope the city council institutes that again and expands that resolution to catch the school department as well. Thank you for your time tonight.